Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Rich Habits Podcast, a top five business podcast on Spotify. My name is Austin Hankwitz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Robert Croak. Robert is a seasoned entrepreneur in his 50s with more than 200 million in company exits under his belt, and I'm an entrepreneur in my late 20s with a background in finance and economics. Since quitting my full-time job in corporate finance a few years ago, I've built a seven-figure media business and actively advise some of the most well-known fintech companies around the world. As the show name might suggest, every episode, we talk about rich habits as they relate to business, finance, and mindset. However, we try and bring you two unique perspectives, one from an industry veteran, which is Robert, and the other myself, someone who's still in the process of building wealth and figuring it all out. Robert, what are we going to be talking about in today's episode?
In today's episode of the Rich Habits Podcast, we're going to be talking about the three most important mindset shifts to make in 2024 to help guide you to create your ideal financial life. I feel like there was supposed to be a drum roll in there because we're so excited about this episode. So through all of our content, DMs, messages, we continue to see countless people that have the wrong mindset. They come from a place of constraint and fear, and we hope to change that during this episode.
I totally agree, Robert. I'm equally as excited because I remember when I was working my 9-to-5 job out of college, I saw so many of my coworkers and friends sort of with this is all I'm allocated, therefore I have to pinch pennies kind of mindset, where I sort of had the mindset of, here's my starting line, right? Here's what my salary is. How do I now get to this finish line of a different goal? So I can't wait to dive into these mindset shifts. So share us the first one, Robert.
Number one for me is living with a lack mindset. I define a lack mindset as someone who's always has this pervasive feeling of not having enough. And this comes from all aspects of their life and feeling as if they're always comparing their lifestyle and their financial life to others. Instead of having a feeling of abundance, they always feel like they have a lack compared to those around them and that they always deserve more. This can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if you're constantly dwelling and feeding your brain these negative thoughts relative to your financial health and your love life. You are what you think, just like you are what you eat. So to me, this is the number one most important mindset most people need to avoid and overcome if they want to have an abundant life. And this is one that we see so much that's out there. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, or whatever. It's just always there. And I think it's the most important one people need to deal with and overcome.
Well, I'm glad you called it out first, Robert. I mean, I think we all probably know someone in our own lives who sort of has this mindset of, oh, woe is me, or stuff always goes wrong in my life, or this is always happening to me. I can, you know, the little man can never get ahead, right? I grew up in the sticks of Tennessee. That's what we would always say back then. So with that being said now, what can our listeners do to help overcome this mental challenge, this sort of mindset shift they need to make?
For me, a couple things come to mind. First and foremost, I would really start reading up on the topic of mindset. A great book to get you started, in my opinion, is Atomic Habits by James Clear. And one of my favorite quotes from the book is the four laws of behavioral change and a simple set of rules to use to build better habits. So let me go through those real quick. Number one, make it obvious. This is a good one. Number two, make it attractive, because if you make it attractive, you're going to follow through with it. Number three, make it easy, because if you make it too difficult and you make these tasks too hard, you're just not going to follow through with them. Think about January and going to the gym, kind of a similar tactic. And number four, make it satisfying. So I love that book, and I think it's a great place for people to start when they're dealing with mindset issues. Secondarily, I would do an inventory of the people that are in your life, both friends and family, and really be honest with yourself. Are they bringing you up or are they bringing you down when you're in contact with them, either via text or in person or at events throughout your daily life? Because you have to look at it this way. We see on the internet all the time, you are the five people that you surround yourself with. And 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't agreed to that statement. But man, after all the ups and downs in my career, I definitely believe who you surround yourself with is so important. We all have those Debbie Downers in our lives. And I just realized, this is maybe 15 years ago, that it really is so important to surround yourself with people that really lift you up. So that's it for me on number one. I think it's very important for people to deal with it head on and just get in that right mindset and really understand the difference of your surroundings and learning about it so you can really take action.
You know, Robert, one of the first sort of influencers, quote unquote, that I let into my mental kind of ecosystem and my mindset and helped me make the proper mindset shifts growing up, I think it was 2016, 2017, I was in college. It was Gary Vaynerchuk. And he was posting a lot of content back then about positivity and, you know, surrounding yourself and cutting those people off that do have these sort of lack mindsets. And he said something that really stuck to me, and I'm going to repeat it. Hopefully it'll help people make the same decision I did. But sometimes those people that you have to cut out of your life that are the Debbie Downers that Robert was alluding to are your family. Right? Maybe it's your mom, your cousin, your uncle, your brother. And I realized that and I made that shift and I never looked back and things were very, very positive after that. So again, I just want people to realize these are not easy mindset shifts to make. It's really hard making these decisions and it's not going to come overnight. This might not even come throughout the year of 2024, but we think it's really important for people to start thinking about these things as we do turn the calendar to a new year.
Yeah, you just really hearken back to a very difficult time in my life. Right when I started to become successful in my entrepreneurial journey, I was very young, let's call it 22, 23 years old. I remember a conversation I had with my mother, and it was during kind of a rough patch because I had a couple projects that weren't making money, and I was spending a lot of the money from one of my other projects that was successful to keep those afloat. And I remember her saying to me one day, and this wasn't the first time because she said it through college and other parts of my life, but she said to me, "Why can't you just be a normal person and go get a job?" And it really pissed me off. I was like, I lost my temper. I was like, "Mom, people like me don't get a job. I could never just have a job and toe the corporate line. That's not me. I'm too creative. I enjoy creating things and building things and having employees and all of that." And it really, really made me mad. And it was probably 2 years before Silly Bands became a worldwide phenomenon. And so what I did, probably the first major purchase when Silly Bands really put me at that next huge next big level financially, is I got my mom out of the crappy neighborhood she lived in and I bought her a waterfront house in the area she always dreamed of living. And then I never brought it up again. I never said anything again, but it really, really hurt me for the rest of her life that she would say that. And she just didn't support me. And that really goes along with people that have that lack mindset or that Debbie Downer mindset that just aren't supportive and don't see the positive things in life. Very, very important. And thanks for reminding me of that story.
I love that personal anecdote there, Robert. So share with us now the second mindset shift people should make in 2024.
Yes, I think number two should be overcoming a victim mentality. I see far too many people that live their lives with this debilitating thought process. We all have dealt with them, with family members, friends, coworkers, you just alluded to it, that truly believe that the world and the people around them are conspiring against them on a constant basis to keep them down. And it's just really, really hard to deal with these types of people. You have all witnessed this with someone that's in your life right now, where every time something bad happens to them, they overcorrect and think the world is coming to an end without realizing that bad things happen to each and every one of us. And it's how you react to those bad things that gives you the different mindset. It's just so, so important to understand how to deal with these adversities in your life.
It really is. You know, it makes me want to start covering sort of these mindset shift episodes a little bit more often. Maybe we do that in 2024 because it is very important. Now, Robert, how do we help people make the shift from victim to victor in 2024?
I'm going to give another example. I have an aunt who at one point in her career was thriving and doing really well financially, but she lived well beyond her means. And despite many of us telling her to start saving for retirement, she needs to start investing and thinking ahead in her financial journey, she didn't do that. She always had the Louis Vuitton and she had all the fancy cars and the new Beamer and all that stuff. Well, guess what? She didn't prepare. She lost her job and refused to decrease her living and lifestyle expenses because of her ego. And because she was just so used to living that way. And now over the last 15 years, she has never recovered emotionally or financially and uses this event as a crutch every chance she gets in conversation and holidays, current life, and the situation. And it's just so hard to deal with because she is doing exactly what we're talking about, living off of that victim mentality. We've all seen those people that are constantly saying, oh, the economy's bad. This person said, don't invest because of this. They're looking for excuses to hold themselves back because they feel there's always someone there that's going to have their back and say, yeah, you're right, Susie or Billy. It sucks that you're going through this. Well, guess what? Nobody's going to be there to save you. At the end of the day, you have to put on your big boy and big girl pants. You have to figure it out, and you have to do whatever it takes to right the ship, because you can't just live months, years, and decades sometimes with the victim mentality, because it's just not a good way to live and nobody else is going to change it for you. You have to change it for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, talking about examples here, right? Robert, you know, I'm very much a stock market nerd. I am a self-proclaimed stock nerd. And, you know, my dad is a lot older than I am. He turned 65 back, I think, in like 2006, 2007. He took his retirement. He's like, ready to go. I'm done. I'm retired. And then the stock market crashed in 2008 and he lost almost everything. He was forced to go back to work. It was a, you know, really heavy on my parents' marriage. We had to move across the country. I had to, you know, uprooted me from high school, middle school, that stuff. It was crazy. All because of something that was completely out of his control, which was the stock market and the economy. And so now, as someone who loves the stock market, who loves researching stocks and talking about stocks publicly and these index funds that we know continue to go up and to the right over long periods of time, I share those ideas and those kind of perspectives with my dad. And every time he goes, yeah, but you know, could always just go to zero tomorrow. Right? When's it going to go to zero though? It's going to zero. And he's always have this, you know, to your point, that mentality of like something that happened 20 years ago now, 15 years ago, is still sort of carried with him into his later years in life. It's hard. You know, it's personal to me, right? I see it every day and it's not something that's easy to get over. And, you know, if I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars and I was 65 and it was a terrible situation, I would definitely be scarred and be talking about it for years and decades, right? So I understand it and I empathize with it. But to your point, right? If that is you and you are listening to this episode right now, hopefully our examples and our perspectives are going to potentially help you make the shift of moving on toward a new horizon now in 2024 from a mindset perspective, moving away from I was the victim of things outside of me to I'm going to now be the victor and change myself, my mindset, my emotions, how I react to things in a way that's more positive now as we turn into 2024.
Okay, Austin, tee us up for number three, lack of self-belief. I think this is one of the toughest ones that entrepreneurs and would-be business owners and side hustlers go through. And I really want to dig deep on this one.
Totally, right? This last point is very important because it's the reason so many people never start. That might be never start investing, never start a business, never start following their passion, or never start trying new things. They just never start because of this lack of self-belief. Falling victim to the lack of self-belief is so, so hard to overcome, especially if you find yourself in this vicious cycle. It's going to hold you back so much in your wealth building journey, as well as any other fun journeys you have throughout your life, right? Everyone who's ever achieved success in their life believed in themselves. Now, that original inspiration might have came from a family member, a mentor, maybe even a public figure that they looked up to, but it's because they saw the finish line and believed in themselves. And because of that, they were able to achieve it, right? They started, it was never a straight up. It was, I'm sure, ups and downs. Robert and I have had our ups and downs in entrepreneurship, but it's always been moving forward, inching up and to the right over time. This impacts countless people every day, especially as it relates to investing in entrepreneurship, right? I don't believe I'm smart enough to be a successful investor, therefore I'm not going to start. Or I don't believe I'm adequate enough in my skill sets to be a successful entrepreneur, therefore I'm not even going to start. It is so hard to hear these things knowing that it just takes a little bit of self-belief, a little bit of confidence, and a little bit of tenacity and courage to take that first step. But once you take that step, you start to feel the wind in your sails and get a little bit of momentum, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest parts about this point, and it's a really deep one and cuts hard for a lot of people that really want to do something special with their lives, is just understanding what's real versus understanding what they see and is purported to be real. Because every day on the internet, through TikTok, Instagram, the news, everywhere you look, it's all up and to the right. Everything is rainbows and unicorns. And so much of entrepreneurship and success is based around, I created this company and I got rich and it was simple. And that's just not the truth about what's really happening in the world. And everyone listening, one of the most important takeaways of this point is to understand that people like myself, people like Austin, I've got a 30-year head start on Austin, so I'm going to put this on me. We have failed much more than we have succeeded. You hear me talk all the time about getting those at-bats. And what I mean by that is just understanding. You have to get out there, take some risk, try some things to figure out what you're really good at and what works. Now, sometimes people get lucky right out of the start. They start a ukulele string business or a bird watching organization and they make millions of dollars. I had a friend who created his first tool ever. He went to a show with a crude prototype and he ended up selling the crude prototype at the show for $11 million the same day. It was bonkers. But guess what? That's the few and far between. It's like when somebody becomes a pop star and everyone says, oh, they got so lucky, but they don't see the million other pop stars that didn't become stars that ended up languishing away and ended up giving up on their dreams. So it's always important to understand this lesson. Don't look at what the internet shows us. Look at what's real. Find mentors. Talk to people like us. DM us if you're stuck or you don't know what to do, because guess what? We're going to give you the no gatekeeping, real information approach. So you know, even for us, yesterday was a day for Austin and I. I'm going to tell you, we don't have to go into the details, but before 8 a.m., I had four fires to put out and three of the fires were in different states. So trust me, it's not always easy. It's not always rainbows and unicorns, and it's really important to understand both sides of this. So I want to wrap this point up a little bit. And what I see most in people like this is that they're scared of public ridicule or failure, and they never even start. So I'm going to tell you how to start and avoid that from happening. Number one, learn more about the subject you're interested in pursuing. Don't go all in head first because someone else told you it was cool. Because you need to understand what you're getting yourself into first before you invest the time, the money, and the process, because you know time is so valuable and I'd hate to see any of you waste 2-3 years on something that you might not even been passionate about in the first place. Number two, don't listen to people that don't have the experience in the field you're pursuing. The biggest mistakes I've made in my life were listening to people that weren't going where I was going. Trust me, probably twice in my life, I was very, very close to being at least worth $500 million to $1 billion on two of my ideas. And I got talked out of it by people that weren't qualified to give me their opinion. So go with your gut or hire a mentor or find someone that's done what you want to do and has been on that journey and get the information from them. And number three, learn that failing is learning because you can use it over and over again throughout your career. And you have to put yourself out there. Go get your reps, even if they feel like a step in the wrong direction, because all of us who have actually succeeded before have certainly felt like we've taken steps in the wrong direction. I've felt that so many times over my career, like, is this right? Is this wrong? I'm not sure. Because if you think about it, something that I say a lot, and I don't want it to sound negative because I am the least negative person in the world, but you got to think of it this way. You never know if you did life right until you get to the end. So that's why you got to put yourself out there. Take the risks. We see all of these book excerpts. We see all of these studies that are found that says people, when they're in the hospital or hospice on their deathbed, they always say the same thing. I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have chased my dreams. I wish I would have, you know, worried about my family and my friends more. All of this comes from having the right mindset and doing what is authentically great for your life, not the perception of what people think is great for your life. And this is so, so important.
100%, right? And what's so cool about those little failures or the steps in the wrong direction is they teach us how to take leaps and strides in the right direction. Robert, what an awesome episode, right? Mindset shifts are so important, right? We talk about business, finance, and mindset. We say that in the intro every single episode. So maybe we have more mindset-focused episodes like this. If you all like this kind of stuff, leave us a little poll here on Spotify. I'm going to say yes or no in the poll below. Click yes if you want us to do more of these these mindset episodes. And with that being said, let's take a moment to hear from this episode's sponsor, Masterworks. Now, the easiest mistake for established investors to avoid is tunnel vision. We talk about diversification, but it's not just diversifying among business sectors, it's investing in assets that hold low correlation to public equities. We talked just a little bit here about taking the step toward learning, right? Why people never start because they don't learn. Masterworks is going to help you learn about how to take the right step toward investing in artwork. Now, one of the old faithful assets that has, again, risen in popularity with those high-powered asset managers are fine art and artwork. UBS recently released a yearly art market report, another way for you to learn about investing into artwork. And it found that investors holding more than $50 million in assets are allocating on average 30% of that portfolio to fine art. But you don't need nearly as much money to invest in artwork anymore.
Because today's sponsors at Masterworks have brought fractional investing to the art market. We've been talking about this for a while, and we've both started our own art collections already. So we're speaking from experience. They've generated over $45 million in art sales and delivered the profits to investors like you. Masterworks has over 300 offerings from household names like Picasso, Banksy, Basquiat, and out of those offerings, each of their 20 exits thus far have delivered a profit to investors. Over 900,000 people have signed on so far, including us.
But Rich Habits listeners get priority access by going to masterworks.art/richhabits. Again, that's masterworks.art/richhabits. They have a lot of educational resources over on that website for you guys to check out. We talk about how important it is to, if you feel like, oh, I don't want to start investing, I don't know enough, this is your opportunity to learn. We learned and we deduced that this was the right strategy for us in our long-term wealth building journey. You should do the same research and figure that stuff out on your own as well. Again, at masterworks.art/richhabits. Now, our first question in everyone's favorite segment of the show, question and answer, comes from Ryan C. Ryan says, "Hi, Rich Habits. Love the podcast. I've got a quick question regarding my taxes, and I hope you all have an answer. I typically file my taxes online and utilize a portion of my tax return every year to contribute to my Roth IRA. I've been using platforms like H&R Block and TurboTax for this purpose. However, I'm curious, are these programs the best choice for my situation, or would you recommend an alternative?" Robert, I'm sure that you've got your own sort of tax accountant that does all your stuff for you, and maybe you have some perspective here to share, but I want to jump on this one first because my girlfriend, Ireland, just did her taxes for the year of 2023, and she did it on Cash App. It was completely free. They do all of it for you. They make it so simple for you to just click on the different tax forms. They tell you what box to go look in and share the information. They make it the simplest thing in the world. There's no uploading documents or scanning PDFs. It's all right there. They make it super simple and they deposit it either to your Cash App or to a different bank account, checking account, which is what she opted for here. But it was completely free. You don't have to go pay someone $100 or $200 at TurboTax to do it for you. But she got a pretty sizable refund. I know that's not exactly the best thing in the world because we don't want refunds. Those are interest-free loans to the government. But it was pretty cool to see it all come together. Robert, do you have any advice here for Ryan as it relates to filing his taxes?
Yeah, I think so. The way I look at it is this is a very slippery topic. Because if you use the cheapest form of filing, some of them are free, some of them are very expensive. You know, I sometimes worry that it won't get done accurately, and then that can be worse for you. But I guess my key takeaway for most people is if you have a simple tax return and you've got everything in order, it's totally fine to use some of these platforms. They do a sufficient job. But as you progress, it's kind of like in your financial journey, it's the same with your tax journey. As you progress, you get more businesses, you get more side hustles, you have more investments. I always think it's best to have a professional, whether it's a CPA, whether it's a law firm that has tax advisory, because there's always the argument of, hey, and even Austin and I are on different sides of this fence, is that the average person can manage their own taxes and their own finances. And I just don't agree with it because I feel, and even for me, I use a team of people to make sure I don't screw up. I want to follow every law, but I also want to make sure that I push the envelope of those laws for the most benefits for myself, my companies, and investors.
You're not the average person though, Robert.
That's right. And so that is why it's kind of a blend of both. And that is, as you grow, get a professional to help you because what you're going to pay them is going to be peanuts compared to what they're going to help you save and help you find as the proper strategies in your tax and wealth building journey. If you're just getting started out, you've got a W-2 job, maybe one side hustle, you don't own a home yet, then it is totally fine to use these apps. Now, I never heard of Cash App being a good place to go, but I trust Austin and Ireland, very smart people, but definitely TurboTax, H&R Block. But just be careful that you're not paying for a bunch of add-ons you don't need.
Yeah, 100%, right? And just to give some additional color there, she had some stock sales, some interest on her student loans, some, you know, she's walking dogs last year, so some side hustle income, retirement contributions, like pretty normal person from a tax perspective, I'd argue. And they made it pretty simple. Now for me, I pay someone $10,000 a year to help me with my taxes, multiple LLCs, employees, all that. Like, that's totally different. We are not average people. But for the average person, even if you have a house, student loans, like whatever your situation is, you likely could get away with an H&R Block, TurboTax, or Cash App. Just to what Robert said, don't pay for those extra little add-ons, right? $75, $150, $250. Keep that money in your pocket. Use it and put it in your Roth IRA. Now, our next question comes from Nate. Nate says, hey guys, I love the podcast and appreciate all the work you put in for each episode. I have a question for you. During the Covered Call webinar, you all talked about the tax efficiency of SPYI and QQQY as Covered Call ETFs. Does that tax efficiency even matter if we're holding these inside of a Roth IRA? Should these be held in my brokerage account instead? Really good question, Nate. So I am not going to tell you what to do, but I will tell you what I do. I hold them in my brokerage account. And the reason being is I want passive income paid to me every month now, right? I don't have to want to wait till I'm 59 and a half to access this money. I want that money to hit my brokerage account at the end of every month. I want to take it, put it in my checking account and spend it like income. I love that. That's why I have these in my portfolio. Now, if you want to put them in your Roth IRA and you have access to your Roth IRA, say you're 60 or 62, like whatever, like, sure, go for it. Like, that's totally fine. I just don't have access to my Roth IRA, right? I have to pay a tax and a penalty on any money I take out of my Roth IRA since I'm not 59 and a half yet. But that's my perspective. You know, everyone's situation is different here, but these ETFs are tax efficient, which is why we love them so much. Again, that's SPYI and QQQY. If you missed the Covered Call webinar, there's going to be a link in the show notes below to go watch that. Robert, we had over 900 people watch the replay of that and over 800 people join us live. It was intense. So go check that out if you haven't already. That being said, Robert, do you have any perspective here as it relates to passive income with SPYI and QQQY?
No, I think it's a great question by Nate. You explained it well, and it really comes back to what we talk about a lot, and that is diversity. Austin alluded to having that income from the SPYI and the QQQY. And I think it's a really smart strategy because we even talked about this with my portfolios yesterday, that you want to make sure sometimes that portions of your portfolios are income producing. So you're not just saving them for a later date when you retire. So you just have to decide what you want from these, but always look to diversity. And sometimes having cash flow is good from your investments, but not always. Like the VOOs and QQQs, those could be in your Roth for life and just go, go, go for the next 20, 30, 40 years, however old you are. So I think Austin covered it really well, and it really speaks to diversity and cash flow and what's best for you.
Really, really good question, Nate. Our last question comes from Danny. Danny says, what are your thoughts on overemployment as an income strategy to get out of debt? Robert, what do you think about that?
I think this is amazing, and I love this question because people need to understand. So many out there, people that are listening, people that I talk to every week, they feel that, well, I have my 9-to-5 job and I'm not making enough money and I can't afford a house and I can't do this and I can't go on vacation. Well, guess what? That's on you. We talk about this. There's no one going to pick you up. There is 24 hours in a day. And if you work 8 hours at one job and you sleep 8 hours, you still have 8 hours to be with family, be with friends, go to dinner, or work a side hustle, or learn a new position, a new skill set that you can take and then use that money. I think one of the best things people could learn through overemployment, have your career. Maybe you don't love your job, but you have good insurance or you have good hospitalization and dental or whatever. So you don't want to leave that. Awesome. But that doesn't mean you should take all the rest of your days and nights and weekends and everything and do nothing about your financial situation. So I love the overemployment as a statement and as a journey for you because so many other people should follow along and find that second job, find that weekend side hustle. I talked to a guy, I think I mentioned this about a year ago here on the Rich Habits podcast. I got in an Uber it was actually a year ago, two days ago, because it was the day of the Super Bowl. I got in this Uber. It was so clean. He had mints. He had wipes. He had waters. He was a really clean cut, probably 50-year-old man. I was like, wow, you really do a great job on this. Awesome. I really appreciate the cleanliness of the car. And he said, yeah. And I said, tell me how you got started. I straight interviewed this guy. He said, yeah, I'm an engineer. I make $150K a year. I have a great life, but my wife's always busy on weekends with crafts. So I decided to start Ubering as a way to take all of the Uber money for investments and to do a big lavish vacation once a year. That is awesome. What a great strategy, because instead of just relying on his W-2 income, which is a high W-2 income at 150K, he did something about it. And that's why I love this statement of overemployment. I think it's a tremendous strategy, especially in your younger years, because you can accelerate everything ahead of time and ahead of the masses and set yourself up for great financial freedom later on.
You know, there's also the overemployment of working two jobs at the same time, sort of deceitfully. And I think people overcomplicate that. I mean, if you have two remote jobs and you can handle two workloads and you are efficient and you're putting out the work that people demand of you, congrats, you now have two salaries. Like, that's literally how I think about this, right? It is up to you to deliver upon the specific expectations of you, either as an employee or if you have some extra time as a side hustle, right? You have these expectations of you. And if you can deliver upon them, congratulations, you are doing your job, right? I am never going to get mad at anyone who wants to work more, especially to get themselves out of debt. Get out of that high interest debt. We've had a whole episode actually last week, Robert, talking about how these high earners are still stuck paycheck to paycheck in different ways that we think they'll be able to help pull themselves out of that. So Danny, we're rooting for you, man, and congrats on the potential overemployment. This is really exciting. Everyone, thanks so much for hanging out with us on this episode of the Rich Habits Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed our in-person Q&A episode that came out on Thursday. If you've not yet watched that, it's both on YouTube and on Spotify. It's Robert and I chopping it up. Really good episode. Had a lot of fun and a lot of laughs. So as always, if you've not yet shared your email address with us, be sure to click one of the Google forms. It's a link in the description below, and do that first name, last name, email. You can expect to start getting weekly email updates as it relates to business, finance, and mindset. But more specifically, in the month of February, we're talking about optimizing our credit card spend. Robert, I'm really excited because over the coming weeks here, we're going to have a really good episode of the podcast. Maybe we'll do a webinar even, but we're going to have a credit card expert come on and tell us how to go on vacation for free, how to get back hundreds of dollars a year in cash back by just buying the normal things, and do all these extravagant, awesome perks and benefits and rewards that come with optimizing credit card spend. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that and the credit card matrix that we built, just because, as I stated last week, I'm not even an expert and I should be on how to fully optimize my credit card. So it's exciting for me as well. But also talking about joining our email database. We have challenges, we have all of these giveaways. There is a ton of information in there to help each and every one of you on your financial journey. And as always, we just love all of you for following along and engaging with the Rich Habits podcast and community. And we're just all growing together. So if you love the podcast, you're new here, please give us a 5-star review if you found value. And we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, everyone, and have a great start to your week.